FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Stroman's a Cub, baby. I'm just telling you, Hoodie, that's the first shot across the bow. Now, there's no trade clause. It's a 3-year deal. He's getting paid market value, $71 million deal with some incentives. You can push it to 75. You can go, well, they could still trade him. They're engaged on Carlos Correa. Now, everything's going to be on pause as we go through this stupid lockout in Major League Baseball. But go sign Correa to a record deal, and all of a sudden, everyone's going to be like, whoa, maybe they are serious about winning over at 1060 West Addison.
Well, it's good that Stroman signed with the Cubs, but what does that really mean? I mean, obviously, that is a step in the right direction. But Stroman, from his standpoint, beggars can't be choosers, right? If no one else is going to offer you that kind of contract, you definitely take it, right? But he has to realize that he's going to have a lot of microphones at his locker.
Yep.
Home and road. Because they're going to ask him, I was very tough loss today. What happened? Very tough loss today. What happened? Yeah, you know, the team's not going in the right direction. What happened? He has to be the spokesperson because he's one of the few veterans on the team. Once Willie Contreras is going someplace else, and then you got Hayward in there, there's going to be very few guys you could talk to from a veteran presence that's willing to speak for the team. So Stroman's there because he as he tweeted, I've never pitched in Chicago before. I really love the city, and I'm happy for him. I just don't know what this means for the long haul.
So he got a call. What's today?
Today is Thursday.
Thank you. Today's run together. December, all over the place yesterday.
December 2nd.
So Tuesday night, he gets a call from his agent. He's in L.A. Get on a plane right now. I'm getting this deal done with the Cubs. But he can't tell anybody because he's got to pass a physical. So he lands here. Bam! Battery of tests. He's clean. Done. Take the deal. He said, I'm excited to pitch in front of that crowd. It's going to be packed. I love the passion. But as you just said, I had a lot of guys come through here on my watch while I've been broadcasting around there that all of a sudden, it ain't so great when you got Paul Sullivan and Gordon Whitmire and Patrick Mooney and this one, Tim Stepp, all of them with their mics in your face. Hey, what happened there? Why'd you get rocked?
Dude.
I'm just telling you, man.
I mean, listen.
Be careful what you wish for.
Hey, man.
But I love it.
It's great for the Cubs because now you've got a 1-2 punch with Hendricks and Stroman. The Miley deal is not anything I look at seriously for the Cubs. It's just not. He is a means to an end, meaning that once the Cubs are out of it, and they will be out of it quickly in 2022, there's no question, that's a trade chip. And so now you get younger, hopefully, in the farm system. So you want Miley, you want to build him up, give him a couple of nice starts, and then trade him away. That's usually that way that works. Because, Cap, as we take a look at this team, I'm happy that Stroman's a Cub from your standpoint, but there's so many other holes there. But ultimately, Cap, the thing that really bothers me this morning is that baseball continues to kill themselves from within. And they take you and I and all the other baseball fans for granted.
Correct.
Now, I understand that baseball will never be the NBA where it's damn near 50-50 as far as the revenue share. I mean, the owners and the players, it's almost that close, right? The owners, I think it feels like 51-49, but that's how close it is. But at least there's labor peace in the NBA. The NFL, if I'm a player, I don't like that deal where tomorrow you could just cut me. Just outside of my guaranteed money, I can't even get my whole contract. You could just cut me tomorrow. And if all I have is my guaranteed money, then that's it.
That's it.
So that's a bad deal, too, from the players and owners. But for Major League Baseball, once again, they can't get out of their own way. There's a lockout today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very disappointed in baseball. And this is the sport that you and I grew up in. It's in our veins. Like, we can't turn a blind eye to it because baseball's been such a part of our lives for a long time. But it is a shame that there's a lockout today. I mean, 94, when the White Sox had a chance to win the World Series to take on the Expos and knock them out in six, that was an opportunity. Well, that 94 team, that 93 team was good. They were on the way.
They were.
94 and that Expo team was good, too. It was going to be Sox Expos. Sox were going to win the World Series in 94. But
that Expo team was loaded.
So were the Sox. So were the Sox. But we'll never know because of a strike in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lockout in 1990, was it 91, somewhere in there, last time we had one of these?
And 94 was the strike.
Yeah.
There was a lockout. Was it 91?
Somewhere in there, I believe, there was a lockout.
I know it's been 26 years since we've had a labor stoppage.
It's just, but it's disappointing, Cap. And then they both sides meet for 7 minutes. Don't meet for seven. Just don't meet.
Agreed.
That's insulting to me. You met for 7 minutes and couldn't iron out a deal? Listen, there's a way to be able to get a negotiation on both sides. And I know that the conventional wisdom is, oh, it's no big deal, Hood. You know, they'll be able to get it together at spring training. Are you sure about that? You sure by spring training everything will be ready to go?
Well,
I don't like that there's a work stoppage. You know why? Because now if there's no work stoppage, you and I are talking about, all right, Cubs get this with Stroman. Bam, what's going to happen today? Bam, what's going to happen Friday? It's because now the free agency is fluid. And same thing with the White Sox. It's like, where's that left-handed thump? Well, we don't know yet because they're in a lockout. Do you understand? That's why I'm disappointed this morning.
Yeah, because Marcus Stroman has said he's going to recruit Carlos Correa. And the agents for Carlos Correa, Scott Boras and company, the Boras Corporation, sources telling, was it Heyman or Morosi, one of them, one of the tapped in guys, the Cubs are one of the teams in there on Carlos Correa. If that's the case, as a fan, man, we got Stroman last night. You're hoping this morning, you know what? Correa said he's in. And they got, like, nope, because everything's ground to a halt, and there's a lockout.
That sucks. But I blame baseball. This has to be the worst combination of players, rep, and commissioner that we've had.
Well,
in our lifetime.
For all the people that want to fire on Bud Selig, and the steroid thing did go on his watch.
Yep.
I understand that, but that's something that both sides were culpable for because it's collectively bargained. Yep.
Players Association
can't just impose drug testing. Both sides have to agree. After 94, Bud went, that's never going to happen on my watch again. And we've never had a labor stoppage till today.
This Tony Clark on that player side and then just Manfred in the... It's bad. It's bad, Cap.
Now, if you tell me... I'm with Danny. We were in the IDOT bullpen this morning. And the IDOT bullpen is brought to you by IDOT's Life or Death, Illinois.com. Wearing your safety belt is the single best way to defend yourself in the event of a crash.
Oh,
buckle up. Stay safe. IDOT.
Now,
Danny put it up on the high on the monitor. I didn't have to stand on my tiptoes to read it. Thanks, Danny.
I'm going
to
need that at the bottom next time.
Appreciate you, Danny.
Bottom and small type.
You got it, Hoodie. Never be that high again.
Danny and I are...
Unlike JR, it will never be that high again.
Wait, what? JR lives high. Danny and I were simpatico in the meeting this morning. We were on the same page.
I don't care what you guys do in your private time. Just speak English to me. What are you saying there?
We're on the same page.
Ah, okay.
The same page that in this lockout, if it doesn't affect spring training, I don't really care about a bunch of billionaires and millionaires. If they're back when they're supposed to be in February under the sun practicing in Arizona and Florida, I'm cool. Now, if you tell me I wake up and it's June 1st and they're still not back, screw those people.
Well, it's still not right, no matter what day it is on the calendar. Because if you're a Cub fan and you're excited about Stroman this morning, as we just speculated about Correa, wouldn't you like to have that thunder and lightning all in the same week? Like, hey, I'm working on Correa. He's in on Thursday. Bam. You're like, okay, now we're back in it, right?
And then Friday you go, we just signed Wilson Contreras to a 5-year extension.
But see, that's the point.
Right.
That's the difference between Major League Baseball and the NBA. July 1st, that's almost like another birthday for me, like a holiday. Cap. July 1st happens, like when Kevin Durant was going a couple years ago trying to figure out where he's going to go. I mean, now it's awesome. Every day there's something. Wait, Kawhi Leonard's going where? What the hell? How did he negotiate that? I don't have that. Like, that's excitement.
Think about last summer. Whoa, the Bulls got Lonzo Ball. Okay, that's a good...
That's right.
Wait. DeMar DeRozan's coming? Whoa,
right.
Alex Caruso's not going back to the Lakers? He's here? Yeah,
but baseball can't get out of their own way, though. This is why we call it the hot stove league. Mm-hmm. Don't you get it? Like, this is something that's big for the winter if you're a baseball fan.
Correct.
This is where you're the most optimistic.
Marcus.
And then they took it away from us because of the lockout.
Right.
That, listen, it may not matter to you. It matters to me as a baseball fan, and I don't think that's right. I think that there should have been some guy, like, you knew this was coming down the pike. How come you didn't have this negotiated? How come you didn't have the conversation?
Deadlines are what make people do things.
Shouldn't, though.
Agree.
Shouldn't be a last-minute situation. Don't you care about the fans? Clearly not.
First of all, I also love breaking stories. We've had our Sharon here. I love that Marcus Stroman broke his own signing. Like, I follow him on Twitter, and all of a sudden there's a tweet, Chicago, and I'm like, and then hashtag Cubs. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. Really? Yes.
Well, I saw it from Rosenthal first and said Rosenthal says that Cubs signed Stroman per Stroh.
Correct.
Per his Twitter.
Right. I follow him, so I saw his tweet.
Yeah.
I was at the Loyola game, and then Marcus Stroman tweeted, blessed beyond belief. The only stadium in Major League Baseball he's never pitched in, Wrigley Field. So he was there yesterday. He was touring the stadium after he took his physical. How cool is that? Like, he's excited to be here. And then he also announced on Twitter, at STRO, at Stro, that he will wear number zero. He will be the first player in Chicago Cubs history to wear zero.
Trying to think. Yeah, he would be.
I can't think of one.
Yeah, I can't think of any zeros. There's a lot of players that played like zeros. That's for sure.
Correct. So there you go. Marcus Stroman is a Chicago Cub.
What'd the Sox do yesterday? Anything?
Rick Hahn spoke.
Yeah?
Rick Hahn spoke. And we'll play that for you because they asked him about this deadline that came last night at 10:59 Chicago time.
Mm-hmm.
He has a really good team already. So we'll get his thoughts on that. You'll hear from Buster and Jeff Passan and Marcus Stroman. Some really interesting stuff on becoming a Cub and mental health, the whole deal. So we'll have all of that for you here on the show. And then I was with a massive celebrity last night.
You were?
Massive.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I'm not talking about Andy Mazur doing the game. No shot at Andy.
Mm-hmm.
There was a massive celebrity at the game I did last night, Indiana State Loyola on NBC Sports Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll tell you about that after this.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
So the Cubs signed Marcus Stroman. What does that really mean? Cubbies got busy. Fans, do you believe the team will spend after the lockout, or is this move insignificant to you until they do more? 312-332-3776.
Went to ESPN.com because I always like to familiarize myself with the depth chart. They already put it in Stroman as the number one starter. That's not happening. Right? It's Hendricks 1, Stroman 2.
Probably.
Right?
Probably. That's not, right.
Yeah. Miley 3, and it's a battle between Alzolay and Mills at that spot, right?
And Keegan Thompson and Justin Steele.
So it could be anybody 4 and 5.
Right. Unless they go sign somebody else. From what I was told last night, they're moving away from a focus on starting pitching because they've added Stroman and Miley to Carlos Correa and others because they want to upgrade the shortstop spot. Trevor Story's in there.
Yeah. You might want to upgrade the bullpen. Like this, there's a hole everywhere on this roster. At first, at second.
They're committed to playing Schwindel there. He had a great second half of the season. Now, does that mean that he's going to be a really good player? It does not mean anything.
What did your guy in the baseball league tell you? He's like, hey, Cap, let me tell you, these kids are taking Schwindel. Ortega's 30.
Right, that's what he said
to me. Excuse
me. He goes, I love this young kid, Ortega.
Young kid.
He's 30 years old.
So are you gonna sell everybody on Schwindel and Ortega and Wisdom? Is that your new core? Is that your fresh core for the future for the Cubs?
No.
There's holes everywhere.
There's still holes, no question.
There's holes everywhere. You're not ready to win next year, Cap. Not ready to win. The only thing I would ask, and nothing wrong with the signing of Stroman, the only thing I would ask is, like, where is he in a couple of years? Is Stroman a trade chip? Because there is no trade clause in this deal.
Correct.
So they can move him at any time.
They could trade him next July.
That's correct.
But what they're telling me is that they are just the beginning of signings. Again, there's a lockout. But they'll do their homework and then try and get more active as soon as the lockout's over. So we'll see. The Yankees haven't done anything yet. The Dodgers haven't done anything yet. The Giants have done very little other than bring their own guys back. They re-signed DeSclafani, and they re-signed one more guy. They let Gossman leave. But all the big market money has not been spent. The Cubs made one signing. The White Sox, one signing. I'm talking of consequence. I'm not talking about little deals. The Yankees, the Red Sox, the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Giants. There's a lot of money to be spent, and there's 300-plus players still out there.
Now, I guess from Rick Hahn's standpoint, Cap, I guess he looks at the starting rotation and says, you know what, we're good, just the way we are right now. Okay, Lynn, Giolito, Cease, Dallas Keuchel, possibly, right? Michael Kopech, they want to put him in as a starter as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still concerned about what you're doing at second base and DH, and is it going to be left-handed thump? Otherwise, I'm ready to go. But the core of Robert and Aloy and Jose Abreu, Grandal, I'm good with Tim Anderson. But I'm concerned about what they want to do as far as left-handed power. Will they be able to pick that up? And again, if it wasn't for a freaking lockout, I can have that answered because I'm sure the Sox would be going for it right now.
Probably right. But what I was told by an agent last night, I was driving back from doing the Loyola game, and I'm trying to make calls. Are the Cubs going to do anything before 11 o'clock? This is like 9:20. And the one agent said to me, a lot of the philosophy of Theo when he was here, Jed Hoyer, Brian Cashman, Farhan Zaidi in San Francisco, Andrew Friedman in L.A., and who's the guy in Boston?
Jaime Bloom.
They believe that the smartest thing you can do is wait. The best deals come as time moves on. And that's why a lot of these guys have not extended themselves big yet.
But as an impatient White Sox fan, when you've gone back-to-back in the playoffs...
And they threw Rick into that.
Yeah, I get it. But what I'm saying is that when you're an impatient Sox fan like me, I need for them to shop at the top shelf. Don't just wait around and say, oh, this is a bargain here. I'll just go to the middle shelf. I want them... here's why. I'm all in because Reinsdorf's all in. That's why. He will do anything he can. He'll spend whatever he has to get a World Series.
Right.
Right? Especially with his friend in the dugout, Antonio La Russa. And by the way, you already have a focus and motivation to try to win every year, especially in this town. But when you've got Tony in the dugout as a manager, and you've already tasted the playoffs, of course you want to be able to push it forward, and you want to be able to spend what you can to be able to get to the next step, not first run and out, but actually make some noise in the playoffs.
312-332-3776. Let's go to Jarvis in Hammond, Indiana. Hey, Jarvis, what's up, Sparkles?
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. Again, great show as always.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jarvis.
I thought the Marcus Stroman signing was stupid. I mean, my thing is this. Unless you're going to move him like you just mentioned, along with the Miley guy, they should have just continue to treat it like the 4th of July and just keep lighting up fireworks, blow it up, rebuild, because no matter what, even if you bring Correa in with Stroman, the Cubs are not about to win in the next probably 4 to 5 years. And I'm speaking from the heart because I'm a diehard Cubs fan. So, I mean, if it was me, I would have did like they did when they unloaded Dempsey and all them. And then the Stroman signing, I guarantee you, I'm going to call you back when you all see this happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to fall in the lines of that wasted money like Jason Hayward. Remember the LaTroy Hawkins signing? It was an outfield.
You're not talking about LaTroy Hawkins. You're talking about Edwin Jackson.
Edwin Jackson, you're exactly right. It was wasted money. So I speak to all Cub fans, please do not get excited over this. Because
hold on, Jarvis, can I have a sidebar with you?
You sure can.
Brought to you by Aiken Law.
3126 million, Howard Aiken. Okay, I want you to listen to me. I understand where you're coming from. Who else other than Wilson Contreras? That's a fine.
Who, you bring money?
No.
What?
I have no money. Other than Wilson Contreras, who are you blowing up like Ryan Dempster? You don't have any of these guys. They're all gone.
You get rid of Contreras, too. You even get rid of the professor.
This is a major market team, Jarvis. They went out.
And I get that. And can I say this to you? And I respect you a hell of a lot. Listen, it doesn't matter what the Cubs do. Them people are going out there to Wrigley Field, and I'm one of them. We're probably the most patient fans ever. If we can go 100 years, Cap, and still pack the park, hell, another 5 or 6 ain't going
to
hurt us.
Hey, Jarvis, listen, man, you're closer to the South Side. You're more than welcome at 35th and Vec. Let's go to a game together.
Stay with me, Jarvis.
Come on, Jarvis. You're close to the border, man. You're right there.
Y'all have a good day. Thank you for hearing me out. I'm pulling up at work, baby.
Hear what I said, Jarvis.
See you, Jarvis.
I'm coming. All right. I'm coming. And I'm going to bring Swarble to your team.
Our guy, Jarvis. All right, man. Have a good day on the job, man.
Sidebar, may I approach?
You may. And again, our sidebar's always brought to you by Howard Ankin. Ankin Law, 3126 million.
Sign my ball. Listen here, man. What's with this no money situation? I told you to bring petty cash. What the hell's going on here? You're tired and you're coughing into the mic. So, okay, that's $1
to BerniesBookBank.org. I literally went to do the game yesterday and had literally not a dollar in my pocket.
All right. Well, you know what? Here's what we do on the South Side. You don't have a dollar? Give me your cap. Take it off.
No.
It's collateral.
I need my hat today.
You know, why? It holds your hair in place?
You got bad hair day?
Pretty much.
No.
No. I don't have hair.
Okay. Well, you need to give up something. Give me something.
I got a water bottle.
I don't want your stinky water bottle. In that bag, there's something valuable. You can't be coming in here with no cash.
I'll go get cash after the show.
No shot. It's got to be between 7 and 10. BerniesBookBank.org.
How about my newspaper?
Are you out of your mind? Yesterday's news today? I don't need that. I don't need to know what happened Monday.
Let's go back to the phones.
You're going to have to give up something. Listen to me. Lock in. You got to give me something, pal.
I'll give you my coffee mug.
I got one of those. It says Cap and J Hood on it. I don't need two of them. You're going to have to give me some
clap. Mike condom?
I got my own condom.
Hi.
Keep your beak out of it, JR.
He just said condom on the air. Just don't say it 3 times.
Condom. Now, I don't understand this no money. You said you'd bring in money. You already owe like $1 from yesterday.
I do owe $1 from yesterday.
Yes, you do. And $2 before that.
No, actually, because not turning on your mic is 5. And I did a spot yesterday halfway through. I realized I didn't have my mic on.
That's unbelievable. You're not on TV. So at some point, you got to give up something. You know what? That Garnett hoodie looks pretty good.
Yeah, no.
How about that?
Kevin Garnett Farragut hoodie. How nice is that?
So nice.
Courtesy of Kevin.
I think I'm going to have to take it off of you.
I'd like to thank Kevin Garnett for me doing the interview in the Showtime documentary.
Uh-huh.
Anything is possible. I got 2 t-shirts. I gave those to Brett because they sent me a smaller size. And this Kevin Garnett fresh hoodie.
It's great. Take it off.
Let's go back to the phones. James is in Gurnee. Hey, James, what's up, Cookie?
Come on, fellas. How are you? Happy belated Thanksgiving. I get a chance to talk to you.
You too, buddy.
Thank you, James.
So 10 seconds to go around in San Diego. So San Diego's not a tough place. So I'm reluctantly a little bit, I'm going to give this guy a chance. You know, because if you're looking at the Giants, look at the Rays, there's an opportunity and a way to build. I'm not a proponent of these 10-year, $300 million contracts. I don't think they've ever panned out that much. So I'm, hopefully there's a strategy involved. You said a lot of these guys that you mentioned do have a strategy. Hopefully they can put together a team that's competitive. Strowman, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I don't. What was the contract? Is there any word on the contract out there? Or is that not good place? Talk about, yeah.
You talk about Strowman's contract?
Yeah.
Three for 71.
One more time, Cap, I lost.
Three years, $71 million, opt out after the second year, and there is zero no trade clauses.
No, that's not a bad contract if you ask me. If he has a blow up half a year or a blow up year, maybe you can really get aggressive with him. So let's give Jed an opportunity to build this thing. I mean, like you said, I don't think a lot of people realize you can't just trade everybody and be in the market. The people, I think, after 16 won't start. Less will come. They might still fill it with some of the new bandwagon jumpers, but I think a lot of people may not come. So let's give this guy an opportunity to see what he feels, and then we can have a conversation. I could be completely wrong, but let's have a conversation mid-season, see what he's going to do, and let's just take it from there. So I'm trying to be optimistic because
you got it.
Build a team without spending millions. Enjoy the rest of your week, boys.
Have a great day, man. Have a good rest of your week and a good upcoming weekend.
I will just say this. You heard from Jarvis earlier. Jarvis says, so why are you spending the money on Marcus Stroman when you still have so many holes to fill? Like, I don't even know if Wilson Contreras is going to be here by the time the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
You brought Yan Gomes in, and when you bring in Yan Gomes, that means that you don't believe in Contreras long haul. That's what that says to me.
Unless, because there's such a lack of quality catching in the market, they went, you know what? We could play Wilson some at DH because the DH will probably be coming out of this lockout.
Full time?
No. We want his bat in the lineup. We don't have to catch him as many innings as he did last year when his knees were starting. Like, dude, you can't catch 130 games. This way, you got a quality backup. You're not paying like insane money, $6.5 million a year. And he backs him up. He catches. He's a wonderful receiver. He's not a great offense player, but you could keep Wilson in the lineup then.
Hopefully, out of this lockout, that it will be a full DH the way God wanted it.
That's the way it should be. And it's taken me, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, I said, I'm in. Bring the DH. I'm tired of watching the Cubs have bases loaded with two outs or with one out. Two men on. Walk the eighth place hitter. Let's get our crappy hitting pitcher up.
Yeah.
So that's where it is.
That's right.
Why is there an MLB lockout? Buster Olney will answer all your questions. That's next.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow him on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So why is there an MLB lockout? People are waking up this morning. How do I pay this bill? I got to get the kids to school. I got to do this. A bunch of billionaires and millionaires can't figure out their business. It's offensive. It is truly offensive that it's come to this. But it has. And I'm with Danny. Whatever. It's December going into January. Wake me up when spring training's here. You mess with my spring training when it's snowing and 20 below here, and I see those reports from spring training. Ah, sunshine. They're practicing. Baseball's around the corner. It helps you get through the winter. Don't you dare mess with that.
Yeah, you're missing the big picture, though. The big picture is that there shouldn't be a lockout for the first time since 1990.
It's offensive.
It's not good for baseball. Don't you care about just the sport overall?
Agreed.
But you're just concerned about the calendar. She's like, well, don't mess with my spring training. Don't mess with my opening day. Well, I mean, with this group, who knows, man? Now, I thought that Gary Bettman was bad at his job. And then Rob Manfred says, hold my beer.
Correct.
Let me show you how bad I could be.
And then Roger Goodell says, boy, you all rip on me. Guess what I just did? I just signed, what, $110 billion in deals? Yeah.
Can I just say this openly to you, mm-hmm. my friend?
Absolutely.
Jerry Reinsdorf is a pretty savvy businessman.
And
hell of a negotiator.
Yep.
One of the things, and I know you will probably say there's no regrets, but if he was able to sway that vote, I don't think that this commissioner would be in place right now.
Jerry did not want him as the commissioner.
That's correct.
And I remember there was another labor thing many, many years ago, and they voted what? At the time, there were 29 major league teams, and they voted 28-1. And the one guy who voted no was Jerry Reinsdorf, because he's a man of conviction. And guess what? 10 years later, all the owners went, he was right. We were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No bueno.
Yeah. David Sampson, who was working with the Florida Marlins, was able to sway that vote. That's what was going on there with the, for the Marlins. Like, Jerry did not want him to be the commissioner. Didn't want
Manfred.
Manfred to be the commissioner.
Right.
And it happened. I just think he does not take it seriously. And again, I blame him and the Players Association for not being able to put this together, because it just it interrupts what would be a really cool free agent frenzy. We love free agent frenzies. I mean, because it means hope. You know, we go through the winter, we're trying to get ready for spring training, be like, Stroman, here we go. Now what's next, right? Because if Stroman's going to be the Pied Piper to be able to bring in other free agents, if you're a Cub fan, you should be excited today. But it all stops because of the labor situation, because of the lockout. That's what sucks.
Correct.
As a Sox fan, like, I would like to see the Sox be able to take care of their few holes that they have and then move forward. But if you're a Cub fan, where you're not sure exactly what direction they're going, that's what's bad about it.
Agreed. Well said.
So what did Buster Olney say?
Buster Olney talked about the lockout with Timmy Kirkjian. Take a listen.
Here's the reality, that the 2016 labor agreement for the players was a disaster, and they lost a ton of financial ground.
Yep.
And what you're seeing now is the players going to the owner and say, look, we need to put a system in place that gets us money back. And they're trying to win ground back. The owner's response to this point has been, look, you're going to have to trade for that. There's going to have to be some more give and take. And so they're stuck in their trenches. And the big question now is, what's going to move them out of that?
And a source told us about a month ago, high up source, the players want everything here. Well, it doesn't work that way. There has to be a negotiation. But Buster's right. They got beaten so badly on the last one, they want to make up for it. And that's one reason that we are where we are right now.
So that's why, because they got destroyed in 2016. And Buster did tell Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning, I was coming in listening to it, and he said he had an agent say, in 2016, I was texting people going, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
We're getting destroyed on this deal you guys are negotiating. Relax, we've got it. And he goes, now 5 years later, they look back and go, that was a horrible deal we made. We gave too much back.
All right, let's put it on the table, Cap. Let's talk about what the players want.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that this whole situation, as far as players having to wait, gosh, it feels like 4, 5, 6 years before they can really get into the money is an issue, right?
You can't be a free agent until 6 years. And you have to have a certain number of days on the big league roster each year for that year to count.
All right.
Which Chris Bryant got his service time suppressed. And the Cubs could tell you, well, we wanted to work on his defense. That's all crock. They wanted to suppress it. And that's part of the rules. So they played by the rules. But he was like 2 days short of that 6th year being his last year with the Cubs. They got a 7th year out of him.
All right. So do you believe that that's going to be fixed, or should it be fixed?
Yes.
I believe service time should be fixed. I think it's a joke. Like, there's some young stars that have to be able to come in to their Major League Baseball teams in May or late April, May. Just, you know, I saw this with the Blue Jays, right? Stars that were ready to go. But
Kevin Biggio, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's the third one? They got another player's son.
A couple of second-generation players.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who'd you say, Bichette?
Bo Bichette,
yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, so the idea that you have to wait for that, that's just bad for baseball,
mm-hmm.
right? The NBA doesn't have to worry about that,
mm-hmm.
right? The NFL doesn't worry about that. You see rookies right away. And the idea that you have to be able to wait is just bad for baseball. So I wonder, is that going to be fixed? Can that be fixed? I know that's going to be a stumbling block, because if you're a player, you want to get into the money a lot sooner than 5 or 6 years, right?
Correct. You want to have freedom of movement.
That's correct.
The players are saying take it from 6 years to 5. But there has to still be a mechanism that does not allow a team to go, yeah, guess what? Chris Bryant, we're going to hold you down in the minor leagues for 12 days so that this year doesn't count.
Imagine being in baseball, toiling in baseball. If you're good, you zip right through the minor leagues to the major leagues, right?
Mm-hmm.
But imagine you not being able to get into the money that you really want until you're 30. Now, who knows if you're going to be able to play in your mid-30s? But think about it. Your big, serious contract won't happen until you're really 30 years old.
Correct.
And by that time, how much baseball have you played? 8, 10, 12 years in the minors?
Well,
minors into the majors?
Unless you come up at like age 20, 21, where, like, Correa came up at 21. He's 27. He's a free agent. If you come up at, like, a norm, like, that's abnormal to be in the big leagues at 21.
Yes.
That's abnormal.
Phenom, correct. Usually. Yeah.
If you go to college or you're in the minors and you come up and you're 24, that's a normal track, 23. They hold your service time down, so now you got to play 7 years. All of a sudden, your first bite at free agency is 30. And what do they say? Don't sign long-term deals with guys after age 30. All of a sudden, you're like, what? This sucks. I can't get my big opportunity.
That's correct.
That's what they're fighting. So there's a lot that has to be worked out. 312-332-3776. Rick Hahn also talked about the deadline, which came last night, and how it affected White Sox business.
So look, you hit on something key in that we're all are fundamentally fans, and you need, in these positions, I think you do need occasionally to take a step back and take a 30,000-foot view of where you are as an organization and where you're trying to get to. We all get excited by that notion of a splashy big-name move, and quite frankly, we like to chase that and see where things line up. It's just the nature of all of us down the hall. I think at the same time, you can't lose sight of the fact that we got a damn good team, that we are in position to contend for a championship next year and beyond by what we've been able to do over the last several years. We've got MVP and Silver Sluggers candidates throughout that lineup, controllable for an extended period of time thanks to some foresight and proactive work on our part. Got Cy Young candidates throughout the rotation and pen. There's ways for us to get better. We're going to continue to try to get better. Again, I expect us on opening day to be better than we are today, and I expect us hopefully through the summer to continue to get better through growth and potentially through other acquisitions. There will never, frankly, be a period of time where we aren't looking to improve upon what we've put together. At the same time, don't want to lose sight of the fact that we're in a pretty good position right now, and we're going to continue to build upon it, but this is a pretty damn good club we got here.
And he's exactly right. You do have a really, really good club.
Yeah, don't disagree. However, you had a good club. What makes it a great ball club? Adding more left-handed thump and having more diversity in your lineup.
300-plus free agents still out there. Trade chips like Craig Kimbrell. Plenty of time for the White Sox to get it done.
I don't have that perspective. I don't have that perspective. That's a GM's perspective. I'm a fan. My perspective is that get it done. Don't let good players get off the board. And so make sure that you have enough offense to be able to get to another step in the offseason, in the postseason. That's what I'm saying.
All right. We'll continue to discuss this. We'll take your calls. What does it sound like when you pull back the curtain and you really reveal a truth to the masses? That's next.
Give me a dollar.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
So last night, I was on the call of Loyola hosting Indiana State. And it was a good game. Loyola was a little flat the first half. They're a far superior team to Indiana State. But it was a battle. Loyola pulled away late, won by 12. They've got a really good team. Really like their coach, Drew Valentine. He's the youngest coach in Division I. He's Denzel Valentine's brother. Spent some time with him before the game. He's just a really good dude. But while I was there, there was this massive, massive celebrity there. I mean, we're talking about a celebrity that when she speaks, there were, 1,000 microphones around her?
I was going to say, it's not Andy Mazur.
No. Nice. I love Andy. He's a great dude. But no, he's not what you would consider at this person's level.
I see.
This person is an international celebrity.
Hey, Sister Jean!
Her name is Sister Jean.
Ah.
She gave the invocation. How old do you think she is?
I think she's about 99, 98.
She's 102.
Is she 102, really?
102. She turned 102 in August.
Wow.
And she comes out there and gives the invocation, and when the final whistle final horn goes off, may all the boys be safe and healthy, and the Ramblers come out on top, and the place goes nuts, and everybody's all excited. So I said during the broadcast to Jeff, our producer, Jeff, get me a shot of Sister Jean. And I wanted to pull back the curtain a little bit on somebody I consider a dear friend, his love affair with Sister Jean.
The arena, as you mentioned, they renovated it. It's such a cozy, fun environment in here. And then Sister Jean's become this mega celebrity. The Cap and Jay Hood show I do on radio, our executive producer, my dear friend, Danny Zetterman, that's his favorite celebrity in the world.
Really?
He has a Sister Jean bobblehead. There she is. He has a Sister Jean bobblehead on his desk. And he doesn't miss Loyola basketball because she turned him on to be a fan. Take that, Danny.
She handled all that notoriety and the media darlingness, if you will, in the
Final
Four. She was great.
She's 102 years old. 102. And she's here giving the prayer before the game.
And a pushing foul. Will be called to the Ramblers.
There you go, Danny. I gave you some love, baby. I just let people into your life.
First of all, I appreciate you promoting this show on that game. Thank you very much for doing that. I do appreciate the shout-out. I just think you lied to the masses. And now anytime you're calling a basketball game, we can't believe anything you say. If you say, oh, that was a great move, probably wasn't a great move. Oh, strong rebound. No, probably was a weak rebound. At this point, we cannot believe anything that comes out of your mouth. Nobody would believe that I would have a Sister Jean bobblehead.
You know, if Mazur would stop listening to Surratt and listen to us, he'd be in on the joke. That's the whole problem. That's the whole issue.
Well, he has to listen to him. He's doing his sports.
I mean, Mazur should be listening and knows that that's not true. But no, but he's a pro's pro, so he just kept it moving. But like everyone listening, that especially listens to this show, knows that, wait a minute now, that's a big fishtail. There's no way that he's that big a fan.
Danny
of
had
Sister Jean.
He had a Sister Jean bobblehead because I saw it.
That was not my Sister Jean bobblehead.
I got it for you.
Yeah, and I quickly put it up on eBay.
Wow.
I made myself a pretty penny because everybody thinks Sister Jean's the reason they made such a run to the tournament. She's their best player. If it wasn't for her, I was watching that game yesterday. Where were the fans?
There was a nice crowd
oh
there.
Oh, my God. And there were more empty seats. Shouldn't she be packing the place?
Oh
if
boy.
A real celebrity was there, if you announced Kanye West was going to the Loyola game, I bet you that place would be packed.
Yes, it would be.
Kim Kardashian's coming to the game, that place would be packed.
Yes,
Sister
would.
Jean, Wednesday night, let's have 30% capacity.
I think that was more of a shot at Indiana State more so than Loyola. I think they looked at the schedules like... you know what?
Yeah, we'll wait.
Yeah, I got study hall.
I'll wait till Bradley comes.
Really? Weekends. I'll be down the weekends. But you know what? I mean, so yeah, I noticed that too because I was watching the game too. I was waiting for a mention. You know, I got one. It was attached to Cap's name, but I got one. Nonetheless, what I really liked is that the fans, even though the fans, it wasn't full. People were into it, though.
They were.
They're on the edge of their seats, so there's still an excitement there, right?
Yeah.
The cupboard's not bare at Loyola.
No, they got a good team, man.
Without question. And they're always dangerous. And something that we have not talked about, they are moving conferences.
Yeah, they're going to the Atlantic 10, the other league I work in.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting move.
And I said to Drew yesterday, the coach, he goes, hey, you do the Atlantic 10. Tell me what that league is going to be like to navigate. Said, dude, that's no joke. You go play at Rhode Island on Thursday and you fly right to Dayton and you play where there's 15,000 lunatics in there because there's nothing else to do in Dayton.
That's true.
Like every game's a sellout.
No, I know. I've been there. I know. It's a hell of a stadium.
And they just did a $90 million renovation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dayton's got one of the best programs in the country. So yeah, it's a tough league.
Okay, so you did your game yesterday. I will do my game tonight.
And you have UIC against
the Oakland Golden Grizzlies.
There you go, my guy Greg Campy, who's other than Jim Boeheim, I think he's the second longest tenured coach in the country. Oh, and Coach K.
K. Boeheim Campy.
Correct. And yeah. Campy was the assistant at the University of Toledo, sitting on the bench with his permed hair, and I was with my hair to my shoulders on the Northern Illinois bench, and Fran Fraschilla on the Ohio bench. Those are the three of us navigating through that league back in the early 80s.
Yeah, so that'll be me at 7 o'clock on ESPN+. Plus.
Right, we'll be watching.
With my good friend Kenny Williams, the UIC Hall of Famer.
There you go. Yeah. So I look forward to watching that. Anyway, we had a good time with that game last night, so shout out to Sister Jean.
Hey, Sister Jean!
And Danny, next time, come to the game with me. I can even get you the gig to do the stats for the game. You'll get paid. And then you can meet Sister Jean.
It's amazing. You mentioned Sister Jean in this segment. I got a text from her asking if we could send along the mentions. She would likes to keep all her publicity.
It's unbelievable. Just leave the lady alone.
Yeah, she's 102, Danny.
God bless. She's 102, and she's rooting for the team. Nothing wrong with that.
Correct.
Jeez.
Do you know how many young men and women she's counseled in her 102 years? She's done a lot of good, Danny.
I'm sure she has.
And then she put a basketball program on her back and got them to the Final
Four. There you go, Cap. Now you're feeling me. She was there when Naismith invented the game. She's mad she didn't get the credit.
Do you think there was ever a moment where a player or a coach like, okay, I'm the one that hit the jumper that got us here.
Dude, that whole run into the Final Four that year, what was that, 2018?
Yeah.
That whole run, those poor players and that poor coach got secondary attention because she was the story. That's the whole impetus. That's the genesis of me not liking her, is just the fact that this team made a run. Finally, Loyola is in the prime, right? Everyone's paying attention to them. And they're not paying attention to them because the student athletes or the coach who's pouring his heart out every day. It's because of her. And she could have easily said, as a person of the cloth that's supposed to be modest, no, don't do stories about me. Don't make it about me. Make it about the team. But she didn't. She did it. She loved it.
The team loves her. I'm just telling you.
That's fine. All I'm saying, some modesty, please.
Did you see the dude that just went by the showcase studio?
I did.
Dude, there's a guy who's got to be 60 years old. He's got a gray mullet all the way down the middle of his back. He's got some bizarre outfit on, and he's on a skateboard. You see all types in this city.
You know why? Because he's enjoying life.
He is.
He's got a petticoat, and he's just rolling around, enjoying the show. Got his earphones in, listening to ESPN 1000. I love it.
Gave us the thumbs up. Pack 100 pounds on JR in 10 years, and that'll be him. Wow.
Wow.
Coffee? Shot or no shot? 2 minutes.
Hey, Sister Jean!